Can I invite my little friends forward? Everyone else can be seated. If anybody wants to gather close for the sermon, come on up. We'll sit here. Just like, I got a frog in my throat. Just like Jesus gathered the disciples on the beach around a fire. I wish we had a little fire here. But probably some of you are glad we don't. So part of the problem of being a pastor in a place for a long time is that everyone hears your stories more than once. So some of you may have heard this story recently, and I'm sorry if you've heard it before. When we were in Alaska this summer, I got stranded on a boat out on the ocean. I got stranded because the gas gauge was broken and I ran out of gas about an hour and a half from home. Not a place you want to be on the Pacific Ocean. I was out there fishing. I was trying to sneak my fishing in before everyone in the house woke up, so not even anyone in the house really knew where I was. I texted my wife before I left, and then my phone was almost out of battery. So it was going to be hard to call her. And when I was stranded, I tried to flag down boats to see if I could help siphon off some of the gas to fill my gas tank. That didn't work either. Finally, this gigantic fishing boat came along, and it was about 40 feet in length. Think from over there to right here, just a giant boat. And the captain came out, and he stopped his boat, and he looked at me, and he was my dad's age, if my dad were still alive, and he said, "You got a problem?" I had a problem. I was dead in the water, and I caught no fish to boot, so there was nothing to show for my pain and suffering. And he didn't have any gas to give me because his big boat ran on diesel, not gas. But he had a cell phone, and he allowed me to call in to the harbor master, which is the guy who runs the dock, who was actually, because it was Sunday, off for the day. And I didn't get through to the harbor master, but luckily my wife did back at home. She had to call 911. So then she got put on hold. And in my hometown, apparently the hold music is heavy metal. So, mistakes led to problems, led to anxiety, led to a really bad day. And as the guy got in his boat, back into his cabin to pull the boat away and drive off, he came back out the back door and he shouted over the back of the boat and over the engine noise, "Hey, if you try, there's good halibut fishing where you are." I really wish he had been Jesus, because that might have panned out. As it happened, I still didn't catch any fish. I just floated there looking like the goofball that I was. Luckily, the harbor master came and got me and gave me some gas, and I was able to get home. And I quickly hustled to the house and washed and showered. Not surprisingly, at church, Jude and Simon and my wife Erin had shared, actually it was my mom, shared with the pastor that I was stranded on the water, and so the whole church had prayed for me that morning. And when I arrived, they were all gathering for the post-church potluck, which they did every Sunday at my church in Alaska. They have lunch together every week. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you're a fisherman, or if you're a teacher, or you're the mayor, or you can't afford it. Everyone has lunch at the end of worship. And I walked in, and they were washing dishes because they had waited that long. They were done. And my mom's best friend in the whole world was at the sink washing dishes. And she looked at me with a scowl on her face and she said, "What were you thinking?" And then she punched me on the arm, which was not great. You see, when I was coming in on the boat, not only had I run out of gas and not only had I been stranded, but on the very last stretch, kind of in the calm water just before the harbor, I had sped up the engine. And then I noticed that as I was speeding up that my camera bag had slipped out from under my seat and was sliding forward. So I just reached for it thinking, that's not the place for it to be. And as I reached for it, my hand came off the rudder. And the whole boat jackknifed at 40 miles an hour, as fast as you could possibly go. And I hit the motor about as hard as you can hit, because I wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Bad went to worse, went to pain, went to please don't ever punch me in that arm again.
That's a great one.
But you know what she did after she punched me in the arm and said, "What were you thinking?" She handed me a plate of food. And she said, why don't you sit down over there? You need to eat. You know, that story today in the gospel is a fishing story. Have you guys ever been fishing? Raise your hand if you've ever been fishing. Sometimes you catch fish, and sometimes you don't. You see, the disciples, like you guys, had a really bad week. Have you ever had a bad week? Oh, I'm so glad some of you have never had a bad week. Have any of you ever had a bad week? Yeah, we can relate. And sometimes when you have a bad week, you push on and you do the good thing and you try harder. And sometimes you're like the disciples and you just go back to what you knew before. You go back to the familiar. Sometimes you just need to watch a TV show or read a comic book or snuggle with your mom or dad. And that's okay too. And that's kind of what they were doing. They did fishing. So they went back to fishing and they were having a terrible night of it. And they were catching nothing. And then Jesus came along and their luck changed. And he brought them in. And at the end of a tough week, you know what he did? He gathered them on the beach just like this. He cooked a meal. And he fed them. And then he asked Peter. Oh, Peter. You guys remember Peter in the story?
Yeah.
Peter. Well, Simon Peter. Yeah, they asked Peter. They asked Peter. Jesus said, do you love me? If you love me, do what I'm doing. Go and feed people. And so this week, you know, whether you've had a good week or a bad week, there are people around you in the world who are having really tough weeks. They're hard on their luck. They've maybe had a bad run of years of bad luck. You may even notice them sometimes. There are folks who are on the side of the road with a sign that says, can you spare some change or some food? Have you ever seen that on when you come to an intersection?
No.
Well, you may notice them now.
No.
What I'd like for us to do today is do what Jesus did for the disciples and what Jesus asked the disciples to do for others. He says, feed my sheep. Yes. So up here, we're going to do a project together. We're going to each take a plastic bag. And we're going to put one blue paper in it, one pack of Kleenex, one granola bar, and one toothbrush and toothpaste. And then you can take that and bring it home with you. And if you want, with your parents, you can make more of them. They're called kindness bags. Okay? And if you want, you can write down other programs or organizations that aren't on that blue piece of paper. You can put a note in there. You could add a gift certificate. You could put two granola bars at home. Whatever you want to do that makes it feel like kindness, like food for someone who needs to be fed. And then you keep those in your car. And when you and your parents pull up to an intersection and you see someone who says, can you give me some food or I need some money? You ask mom and dad, is it okay if we roll down the window and give them something to eat? Okay? You guys want to make something together?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Now, we're going to probably not go through all of these, so all of you big kids out there, if there's some left, I invite you during the Eucharist to come forward, take a bag, put one of each thing in the bag, take it home for me. Just one of each, only one thing of each. There you go. And then, you can hand out kindness to a person you see on the road. All right? As you guys do this, here we go. This is, some of you will find this interesting. This is from a friend who actually attends Hennepin Avenue Methodist Church. They have this as a stock program on kindness bags. So I'm thinking we should develop something like this for St. John's, but it includes some of the programs that we partner with and some others that we don't. Hot meals will be given at Dorothy Day Center, at Faith Lutheran Church, Masjid Anwar on Rindale. It runs down the kinds of places that you get food, have a hot meal, get something for your pantry. You can take these if you're on the office. You can also listen to the setting your own. Sometimes church needs to be like this. Practical resources for us to feed God's sheep in the world. You guys get one? Everybody got one? Thank you for doing that, all right? Remember, as you see someone in the world, feed those sheep.
May I have one?
Yeah.
Aww.
You can sit up there with me, that's fine. Parent every day, double parent today. Some of you may may come to church like the disciples showed up on that beach, having had a bad week or a bad day, a bad diagnosis, bad experience. Some of you may have just turned on the news and seen another bad thing happen in the world. On Easter Sunday, I preached what felt like a little bit more of a dark Easter sermon than I normally do, about how much can often go wrong in the world, but what it means to see resurrection and to follow it. And on that day, I didn't know what was happening in Syria, but you all did. You came in with that story in your back pocket. One of the worst tragedies to hit the church ever. And it happened on Easter morning. Sometimes it's hard to believe in all the things that Jesus talks about hope and resurrection and new life. Sometimes we show up and then the next week something like what happened in Southern California in a synagogue happens, as if just to pound the nail a little further in. And last week we heard the story of Thomas, who said, if you would just show me your hands and your side and I could put my fingers where the wounds were, then I would believe all this that you talked about, new life and hope. And the rabbi of that synagogue, I don't know if you saw this on the news, he stood at a news conference, having been wounded seriously in his hands. The rabbi showed his hands to the congregation, to the gatherer, to us. He said, see this? This is what it looks like sometimes to be me and my people. This is what it looks like to believe with all your heart in the world and to be noticed for your belief. And you know what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day? I'm going to keep being me, he said. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he said, I'm going to live my life as Jewish as I can be, as visible with my faith as I can be in the world. What a witness. He showed us his wounds. He showed us his wounds and then invited us to resurrection, to go out into the world and do the things that our faith compels us to do. Feed the hungry. Tend the sick. Show up at each other's bedside when you're sick. Give that friend who's going through a hard time a call. Feed my sheep.